This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
In the third and final program in our update on the Dead Sea Scrolls with Michael Wise, professor of Hebrew Bible and Ancient Languages and scholar in residence at the University of Northwestern St. Paul, there was one more story I was curious about. A recent report in the Jerusalem Post described a controversial and fascinating discovery made back in 1992. An estimated 600 kilograms of reddish-brown organic powder found in a sealed cave near the Dead Sea, a find that has raised questions that have yet to be definitively answered. That's over a half a ton of powder, which was found by Wendell Jones, an unconventional archaeologist who devoted himself to deciphering the Copper Scroll. That scroll, found in 1952, supposedly had directions for finding hidden treasures of the temple. Well, this discovery was announced just before our 1992 Israel tour, and I actually connected with Wendell Jones. I tracked him down on a day when we were both visiting Masada. He talked about excavations in this newly discovered cave near Qumran, which he called the Cave of the Columns. This newspaper article called it the Cave of the Twins. The cave is a complex of channels, stone silos, and protective layers of clay, and underneath they found this red powder. The initial identification of the powder as temple incense was made by comparing the discovery with the detailed formula that appears in the Talmud. In 1994, another microscopic examination found remains of plants such as saffron, cinnamon, frankincense, myrrh, and other plants that appear in the sources as ingredients of incense. Jones' decision to hold a press conference on May 8, 1992, before an official report had been submitted to the antiquities authorities, was a negative turning point, and his excavation permit was revoked. Well, most of this powder now seems to have been lost. Wendell Jones died in 2010. But members of his team are apparently working to arrange new tests with more modern equipment on the samples that remain. It's called the Qumran Project. A new book about the project has just been published. If the new analysis supports the original claim that this was incense from the ancient temple in Jerusalem, that would be pretty significant. And Michael Wise said he had been following the story.
The Cave of the Twins is the modern Israeli archaeologist's name for this cave. It wasn't Wendell's name, but it is a well-known cave, actually.
It's not one of the original 12, but it's close by.
Right. And there's no reason to think that. It depends on what you think the Copper Scroll is, as to say, whether it's how it's related to the other Dead Sea Scroll deposits. That's been one of the big controversies that's involved the scrolls as well, because this text actually does have the earmarks of being an autograph. Remember I said there's only one text among the Dead Sea Scrolls that looks like it's an original? It's this one. And it's on copper, actually a copper tin mix, because copper itself is too soft. But what is it? My own view of it, and it's not a minority view, but it's not something everybody agrees on, is that it is a list of actual deposits that came from were associated with the Jerusalem temple and were hidden in Jerusalem and in a variety of other sites, some of them out by the Dead Sea sect site, if we call Qumran that. One of them maybe is this Cave of the Twins, in which one of the items is this incense. Incense is one of the things that is hidden, according to this copper scroll. And that's where Wendell was getting it. He's taking it to basically the way I am. That is to say, he thinks it's a genuine list, that it belongs to the genre list, as opposed to being some kind of fictional writing. As a fictional writing, it would be incredibly boring. Because it basically just says, go to such and such a place, dig down such and such a distance, there is such and such. That's not really very interesting. It's far different from treasure trove type writings that are fictional normally. But it has the qualities of an ancient list, which was a genre in the ancient world. So he held that view, and he believed that he had found something after looking everywhere for all kinds of stuff and finding nothing that he could say is definitely from this copper scroll list. He came across this, and he argued, yes, at last I found something that wasn't later discovered by others. Or actually, what may have happened is the Romans got a hold of the people who had hidden the stuff and tortured the truth out of them and went and got the treasures. That's likely. the Romans regularly did that kind of thing. And so the treasure of the Copper Scroll is the Copper Scroll itself. But Vendel thought he could find the this stuff that was worth millions in modern-day money and went looking for it. And this is one of the things he found. The problem that you're talking about is that it's not around anymore.
Yeah.
Or very little of it. And that's a whole story.
This was a fascinating article because, as I said, I interviewed him decades ago and then just kind of lost touch. He's a very controversial figure. And after he held this news conference in 1992, the Antiquities Authority basically shut him down. But they did have some of this material. Apparently, it was not well preserved, at least it may have been at first. But Vendel Jones died in 2010. Some members of his team remain, and they're apparently trying to arrange some more texts on what little samples remain with modern equipment to see if it really is temple incense.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating. Let's find out.
This is something we should keep an eye on.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, Gordon, a lot of that ancient world or certain key parts of it are extinct today.
Like balsam.
The balsam. The balsam that they actually used, we don't have anymore. They may have resurrected it, as you may know, with your knowledge of what's going on in Israel, you know, a discovery of an ancient seed that was still able to produce life and maybe resurrecting this ancient species. It's fascinating. It's sort of similar to what we're talking about. That is archaeologically discovering extinct, as it were, remnants of something that was ubiquitous and important in the ancient biblical world and bringing it back to life. Who wouldn't be fascinated by that?
Yeah.
Let's find out what we have.
You've just joined us. We're talking with Michael Wise, professor of Hebrew Bible and ancient languages and scholar in residence at the University of Northwestern St. Paul. We're talking about the Dead Sea Scrolls, one of the most important and fascinating stories in biblical archaeology of the past 80 years. In another year or so, we'll be marking the 80th anniversary of the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls. How has your opinion of the scrolls changed over the years? Or what opinions have you changed?
Well, my opinions have always been sort of heterodox by the standards of the quote-unquote consensus. I never thought that these were Essene products, pure and simple.
The Essenes were supposedly the community that lived at Qumran.
Right. Based on in the writings of an ancient author, Pliny the Elder, who wrote a travelogue sort of writing in which he talked about, among other places, this area above the Dead Sea, he said. Supra is the Latin term that's used, which means above. Not usually north on a map, but above in the sense of topographically, higher up on a hill. He said, in relation to the Dead Sea, these people called the Essenes were above. They were unique in the ancient world, he said, because they lived out there with nothing but the palm trees for company, without women and without wealth. And so if you're going to be pure, you go out to the desert and you don't have either. So he was telling a kind of tale about these people that may or may not have some resemblance to actual historical fact. We do know something about the group called the Essenes from other writings, and there was some fact here. They lived everywhere in the land, according to most of the writings we have, not just in one place. But when the scrolls were first discovered, you have to remember the theory of the Essene origin of the scrolls was conceived when there were seven scrolls known. Just after the first cave was discovered, in which seven scrolls were found, before archaeologists went to the cave. So just on the basis of what the Bedouin had found, and seven scrolls were coming to light. That early on, the Essene theory rose up and was embraced as explanatory. My own view of it has always been, well, that's an awfully quick answer to a very complex question. It doesn't quite deal with the actual Latin, which seems to suggest that the people are not northwest of the Dead Sea, the site of the Qumran site, right? Or up, in the sense of up the map, so to speak, but rather high up above it on a hill near En Gedi, is what he actually said, Supra En Gedi. So some scholars, a guy by the name of Hirschfeld in particular, an Israeli archaeologist, held that they actually lived on a site up above the area of En Gedi. some little hut-like structures have been found there. This, again, is part of the complexity. So if you ask me my own opinion, there's a complex phenomenon here. There probably was some kind of sectarian group living at the site of Qumran. Again, maybe not very large. Their connection to the scrolls themselves is uncertain because the scrolls were written elsewhere. I think there's a good reason to believe that. I've always thought that based on the study of the actual materials that we've been talking about. The scrolls themselves are in discrete collections. That is to say, if you look at the profile cave by cave by cave, that evidence we do have, cave by cave by cave, and we can study what's in them. The contents are not heterogeneous in the sense that, oh, we've got a big library that was at the site, and when trouble came, they divided it all up and took it off to different caves and stuffed them in there. That doesn't account for what we find. So, for example, cave 11, all the scrolls are relatively late in terms of the handwriting analysis, first century AD products. And they are particular kinds in terms of their so-called sectarian qualities internally. Cave 1 and 4 are more heterogeneous. Cave 4 has by far the great majority of things, 555 or so of the texts. If you have 931, 555 of them are from Cave 4. So Cave 7, I've already talked about, only Greek writings, only on papyrus, none of them biblical. You've got different profiles, cave by cave by cave. That suggests different collections. Not a big collection divided up, but texts brought from elsewhere, already in collections, maybe combined on site when they got there, in some cases, like Cave 1, but probably not from one place right nearby. I'm open to where it all goes. I'll tell you what my own answer to the question is, if you say how my views have changed. At one point, I thought I might write a book on this question, you know, on the Dead Sea Scrolls, the whole phenomenon. I've already authored.
You've written a number of books. Yeah.
Right. I've offered a trip with two other guys, Ed Cook and Martin Abeg. I've written a translation of the scrolls. But I quite a while ago decided, you know, it's like beating your head against a wall. You could write a book, you could make all your views up known, and what would it do? Spend your time on something else. For the last number of years, Gordon, I've been working on the second grouping of materials found in the caves, the so-called Bar Kokhba materials, which date not from the time of the first war, the famous war that destroyed the temple, but the second war that the Jews fought against the Romans from 132 to 136. That's been the center of my own research for the last number of years now.
So these were found in caves further south along the Dead Sea. Well, that's fascinating, and we're out of time here on my program today, but I would like to come back and talk with you about that research at some point in the future. My thanks to Professor Michael Wise, Professor of Hebrew Bible and Ancient Languages and Scholar in Residence at the University of Northwestern St. Paul. We have a website that has resources for biblical archaeology at radioscribe.com. There you'll find breaking news videos from the Israel Antiquities Authority, as well as information on Artifacts, our biblical archaeology news magazine. That's at radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Thanks for joining us. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through biblical archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.